It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As a reporter for the Detroit Free Press, Ben Schmidt spent 11 years in the Motor City. In that time, he saw the city and his neighborhood deteriorate. In an essay for Essential Pittsburgh, he recounts why, at great personal cost, he packed up his family and left Detroit.
The American dream cliche came to mind when my wife and I settled in Detroit and purchased our first home. Live here 5 or 6 years, sell it at a profit, and move up in the world, were my thoughts in 2001. 5 years later, I scoffed as my neighbor next door packed up his belongings and solemnly warned me, "This neighborhood is going to go." 3 years after that, the ex-neighbor's home had changed hands several times and literally transformed into a drug house. I peered under a window blind one night at the traffic in and out of the driveway next door and thought to myself, "I'm failing. I'm failing my children." No more American dream. The cliche had evolved to fight or flight. Detroit's recent bankruptcy filing reignited these memories for me. Our Detroit home, which we bought in 2001 for $143,000, sold in 2010 for $35,000. We ditched it in a short sale and took a major credit hit, departing from my hometown, Pittsburgh. The reasons my family left mirror the reason Detroit's population has dwindled from nearly 2 million in the 1950s to about 700,000 people. Those reasons are rampant crime, broken streetlights, shoddy services like snow plowing, and slow to no police response. I know how painful the moment was when I agreed to a short sale, so I can't even begin to imagine the collective pain residents of the once mighty Motor City are feeling with this current bankruptcy filing. I say this because it would be easy to sit here, now living in Pittsburgh, and bash the city that I called home for 11 years as a reporter for the Detroit Free Press. But there's no need. Those residents of Detroit are among the best I have ever met in my 43 years. I wish them nothing but the best of luck.
The thoughts of native Pittsburgher and award-winning journalist Ben Schmidt, for many years, a Detroit resident. So what about the people who still call Detroit home, who are still trying to get through the day-to-day challenges of life in a bankrupt city receiving a lot of negative attention? How do they feel about the way the media has portrayed the situation? Joining me now is Craig Folley, host of NPR member station WDET's daily public affairs program, The Craig Folley Show. Craig, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. It's good to be here.
With all the news coming out of Detroit, we're getting visions of some sort of zombie apocalypse taking place there, you know, with people walking around with a dazed, desperate look. How are the citizens of Detroit handling all of the negative fallout?
Well, we're handling it the same way that we've always handled the situation here in Detroit. The fact is, Detroit's been broke for a long time. We just now have a word to put to it, Paul. I mean, we haven't been paying our bills for at least a decade, been papering over deficits for a long time. City services have been dwindling, as Ben Schmidt so aptly pointed out in that essay, and that's led to this spiral. People, just anybody that's been able to pick up and leave has done so. So you're left with a poorer population that doesn't have the income to support the taxes needed to provide those services. So it just perpetuates itself. But the people are still here in Metro Detroit, and they're living their lives. So it's not as if, you know, they've turned out the lights and nobody's around. Things are still going on.
So are there aspects of this story that the media has been missing in the coverage of Detroit?
It's tough to say. I think one of the things that people aren't sort of recognizing is that bankruptcy is not a surprise to anybody. In fact, there's almost a sense of relief from a huge chunk of the population that somebody's finally addressing what we all knew deep down needed to happen. There's got to be a fundamental restructuring of things in this region if we're indeed going to make it work. And this is finally a recognition that you have a problem. I liken it to going through recovery. You know, you're not going to get help until you recognize that you need help. And I think that's where we are right now.
There's a mayoral election coming up in Detroit. Why do so many people want to become the next mayor and inherit all of these problems?
Well, I look at it this way, Paul. I'm not sure that you're going to be inheriting a lot of problems. If you were going to be running and we weren't going into bankruptcy right now, you would be inheriting these problems. But right now, you're going to become the mayor. And a lot of people are running on this concept of, I'm not the emergency manager. I've got a plan for fixing Detroit. But I think deep down, every single one of them hopes that this emergency manager is successful in whittling down some of this long-term debt, because the next mayor is going to have as close to a clean slate as you'll ever get in this city. And I think they deep down know that and are probably kind of hoping that the emergency manager gets a lot more done than they're telling their prospective voters that they want to get done.
And what about the role of the emergency manager? You know, what are the things that this individual has to try and take care of?
Well, there's a couple of different things that have taken place right away. Police lieutenants and fire department lieutenants both just had a mandated 10% pay cut that went down yesterday, as a matter of fact. The system has already put out a request for proposals for private companies to come in and pick up the garbage in the city. And garbage pickup is something that's been a consistent problem here because of a lack of trucks that are available to go out on the road, a lack of mechanics, a lack of drivers. It's been a big problem, so they're going to privatize the garbage system. We haven't gotten the proposals in yet, but these are things that are likely going to be in place before we even know whether or not Detroit's eligible to file for bankruptcy. These are all decisions that still need to be made in court.
That, and which is a very important thing that you pointed out, that the bankruptcy situation is still something that must be decided on.
Yes. And look, anybody that looks objectively at the books here in the city of Detroit is going to realize that there is just not enough income coming in to pay off these long-term debts. I don't know what that's going to mean for retirees. We don't know what this is going to mean at this point. But as one of the mayoral candidates aptly put in a debate the other night, a guy named Judge Willie Lipscomb, he said, look, you can't lose 1.3 million people over the course of 50 years and have enough money to pay your bills. It's pretty simple.
And a lot of the population decline, too, has just been since in the last 10 years, or even more so in the last 5 or 6 years since the start of the Great Recession.
Yeah, that took a really, really big toll on a lot of people, in that you had a number of foreclosures in certain neighborhoods, and people were just basically walking away. Because you look at the economics of the situation, you bought your house, say, for $50,000 10 years ago. You look at it now, and in some neighborhoods that value has been reduced to $10,000 or less. And you sit there and think to yourself, all right, you know what? I'm just going to walk away and go rent somewhere. And it's not as if people are going far. They're going across the city line to the next community and renting a place there. So, you know, you see this hollowing out of the city itself, but we still have 5 million people living, you know, in the region. So it's not as if people have picked up and moved to Texas or California or Florida or even Pittsburgh. They're still here in the region. They're just in a different city. It's remarkable what's happened here.
So what is keeping Detroit from moving forward, especially when we consider that this is the city of the automobile manufacturing that's identified with automobile manufacturing in the United States, that created so many innovative things, that had this great radio station years ago that gave us the great radio dramas like the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet. It's contributed so much to popular culture with Motown. And yet the city is sort of seems to be stuck on a treadmill. Why is that?
That's a really tough, and I'm not sure we have enough time to get through all the reasons for it. But look, Detroit was your classic boom town when it first came up. Detroit has always sort of been off the beaten path. I mean, Michigan was a frontier for a long time. And then all of a sudden, because of its proximity to the lakes and raw materials, the auto industry grows up here, and because of a couple of entrepreneurs that happened to be here. So the boom was huge, and as long as that was going on, everybody was happy. Everybody was fine. You had jobs. You didn't have to go to college. You could get a job that basically allowed you to send your kid to college down the road, working in these factories. But automation happens, and we never built the educational infrastructure necessary to make sure that we had a workforce that was trained to bring something else here. So I think that's been a big part of the problem. You still have a ton of engineering talent in this community that exists, but you have a whole lot of people that weren't prepared for a new economy. And I think a lot of people that would be looking for places to locate companies see that and may be reluctant to come to Detroit, despite the fact that there is a lot of innovation that still goes on here because of the auto industry.
And yet, in spite of all this, we're hearing that Detroit is looking at building a new hockey arena for its beloved Red Wings. This development announced after the city filed for bankruptcy. What can you tell us about that, Craig?
Well, it's kind of a strange situation because the optics of it are certainly bad, Paul. I mean, everybody's saying, wait, we're broke, but we're doing this. Well, you know, because of strange rules about bond dollars and matching dollars and all these different things, this is really the only type of project that this type of money could be used on. And it was going to get done. They've been talking about this for the last, five, 6 years about this new hockey arena. And it's going to be a much larger thing than just an arena. There's going to be a lot of residential and retail development. And it's linking two sections of town that are actually doing well, downtown and midtown. This place where they're going to build it is the last section that has not really been developed. In fact, most of the buildings on the site are abandoned right now and sitting empty. So this is going to really link the two thriving areas of downtown together and midtown together, which makes a lot of sense, economically speaking. But the timing of it looks bad. But at the same time, if they don't do it right now, they lose a huge chunk of the money to do the project.
So let them eat pucks. Craig Folly is the host of NPR member station WDET's Daily Public Affairs program, The Craig Folly Show. Before we wrap up, Craig, could you sum up how the city residents in the city of Detroit feel about the city and the situation and everything going forward?
Well, look, we are a fiercely proud people here. We will bash ourselves worse than anything coming from anywhere else in the country. Yet when you do it to us, we get upset. So I think people are resilient here. They know that the city is not going to just sort of, you know, crumble to dust any further than it is. And I think that secretly a lot of people are really looking forward to what this might mean for Detroit's ability to come back. There are certain parts of the city that frankly won't come back for a long time, neighborhoods that just don't exist anymore. But the city as a whole, the region as a whole, is going to be fine.
Craig Folly is host of NPR member station WDET's Daily Public Affairs program, The Craig Folly Show. Craig, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining us, and good luck to you and everybody in Detroit.
Well, we appreciate that. We know that Pittsburgh's been through a lot, too. So, we don't mind listening to you guys about it. So,
well, thanks, you.
Paul.
Take care, Craig.
Bye now.
Coming up, the good news about Detroit, and The New Girl tells us why the Motor City is still a great place to visit. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.